Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Izzy. So Izzy, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Awesome. Yeah. My name is Izzy Rosenzweig. I'm from Toronto, Canada. I'm the CEO and founder of Portless. Fundamentally, what Portless is we help DTC brands that manufacture in China. So that's, you know, thousands, thousands of different types of brands, really look at supply chain and logistics in an entirely different perspective. So kind of quick context, you're typical supply chain that's existed since the 1980s, you manufacture 10,000 shirts, you put on a boat, 60 days later, it's stuck in the water for 60 days, then you pay import duties, then you bring it to facility, and then you ship it to your customer for 4 to 7 day delivery. In our model, we say, hey, don't put it on a boat for 60 days, bring it to our facility in Shenzhen. It could get to us probably about 2 days post-production. We will ship it with USPS. We basically put stuff on pallets and direct inject it 5.2 days. From 5.2 days, when we get the order in Shenzhen, your customer will have a USPS package at their front door. So really is a whole new way of looking at lead times. It's a whole new way of looking at logistics, better cash flow. There's no import duties. That package is under $800. Shipping rates are very effective. But most importantly, the consumer has a fully local experience. So they think you have distribution centers in LA, Chicago, New York, Arizona, and Miami, which is basically where we inject it because that's what comes up in the tracking number. So your consumer has a local experience. You just saved money. You have better cash flow and way faster lead times. That's fundamentally what Portless does.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea for it?
Yeah, great question. Definitely did not think of it. I'm not that creative. I started as a direct-to-consumer business. So going back a whole bunch of years, I was in direct-to-consumer in the kitchen accessory space. I used to do the typical supply chain. I was bringing in containers into Canada and the States. It was so brutal because every time something did well, we couldn't restock until basically 60 to 90 days later. So it's very hard to scale the business. It was very hard in cash flow. Honestly, I got very lucky. I met in Toronto the former CFO of Alibaba. He became an early advisor of mine and an early investor. He brought other ex-Alibaba executives, one of the VPs that ran Tmall Global and Taobao, and they introduced me to this whole new space of cross-border logistics. Now, in the early days when I was getting started, it still sucked. It was like when you bought from AliExpress and you waited 3 weeks and there's Mandarin everywhere. That's how this industry started. But the last 3 years, it became game changing, where all of a sudden it's USPS local experiences in 5 days. So I got into as a consumer business. Then we start getting inbound of like, hey, we need to improve our cash flow. We need to improve our margins. We want to go global. We want to go to the UK because we can ship Royal Mail, Australia Post, Canada Post, makes no difference for us. And with that inbound, we said, one second, there's actually for us a better opportunity to help unleash and help other companies be more profitable and better cash flow. So really, it was just like solving your own problem, getting inbound demand to people to leverage our service, and then saying, one second, let's do this as a full-time business. And that's how we got here.
So what would you say is like the biggest challenge that you're currently facing the business?
Yeah, honestly, thankfully, it's been growth. So we've had so much inbound. We've done no marketing. We've been on a bunch of podcasts like this one. People find out about us. We have massive inbound, both from enterprise businesses and from smaller businesses. So we had to turn down small businesses. If you're doing under 1,000 orders a month, we just can't onboard you. The larger ones have longer onboarding, so we have a bit more time. We upgraded our facility 3 months ago to handle 75,000 orders a day. But honestly, based on the trajectory, we're probably gonna have to keep expanding. And another thing is like some of our customers have most of their manufacturing in Vietnam. So we've been in Vietnam for 3 months running internal projects. And our aim is to start onboarding those customers that wanted to be on board for a while, hopefully by the end of Q1.
But do you worry about like opportunity costs? For example, if somebody's small now and they can expand really quickly, then they might just go with somebody else. So how do you make sure that like you don't lose out like on those people?
To be honest, in the early days of us doing this, we took all those customers. And what we found was as much as we'd love to service them and help them be more profitable, the early stage customers are just more difficult for us. And we just have to choose now what makes sense for us now. In a perfect world, we'll have a fully self-service platform where you don't need to talk to us. But one of our main value props that we give to our customers is we want you to think or have the perspective that you're working with a brand in America. We happen to be in Shenzhen. So we have like Slack Connect groups. We have everyone speaks English in China and in the US. So we do bit, we are big believers in amazing communication because this is people's supply chain, right? This is the core of their business. And if you don't have good communication with, you could have all the best marketing in the world, but if you're not delivering efficiently, your customers are gonna be pissed. So we're just massive believers in great communication. And to do that at scale with small brands is just too hard. So, you know, maybe at some point in the future, we automate a lot of those services and then we could bring them small brands again, but we have to choose now, like what we could actually handle and what makes sense for us and the brand together.
For sure. I mean, like you mentioned, obviously lots of inbound, but that's impressive. I mean, like, you know, podcasts are one way, but do you go and speak at, you know, conferences or like other opportunities? And obviously you've been like in this space for many years. So can you just talk more about that? Like how have people like really found you besides podcasts?
Great question. So for context, I've only been in Portless, the B2B side, where we service other customers, is just about a year. That being said, our biggest referral base actually are our customers. So as our customers start getting onboarded, their friends get introduced, et cetera, et cetera. And which is funny because our business is so international. We start with one customer in Australia, one in the Netherlands, one in the UK, one in Canada, and a lot of US. But those countries are growing. Now we have multiple in Netherlands, multiple in Australia, multiple in Canada. And it just shows that for us, our biggest growth is our customers and making sure that they have the best experience possible. And I'll be honest, like there are a few cases where we onboard a customer, it's not the right ICP, the stuff are too big, or they have a chemical inside their product. And we actually have to say, like, we actually have to offboard you. But we do it in the best, easiest transition possible. And they become our advocates too. Like, hey, it sucks we couldn't use you, but you should talk to John because he runs a great apparel business. So that's been our biggest growth. Then some of our key advisors are big people in this industry. So Nick Sharma, Eli Weiss, these are our advisors of the company. And they are big advocates for us. And then we spent a bit of marketing on a couple newsletters. So we did Eli Weiss's newsletter. I think it was Chew on This. I don't remember the other ones, but we did a bunch of newsletters, which basically puts our ad in front of the right people. And we're just fortunate that our value prop is so strong that there's always been decent amount of inbound from that small investments into like newsletters.
So I guess like, what is the vetting process look like? Because I'm sure it's like, you probably have people that you'll, it's like before they even talk to you or talk to, you know, somebody, like how do you make sure, even now, I'm sure that you've probably learned of like certain people, which you say, okay, like this is not a fit. This is a fit. Like, how do you handle all this inbound?
Yeah. And agree. And it honestly took time to understand who's our ICP, who's our ideal customer profile.
Right.
So I would say the first thing we look for is, do you manufacture in China? Because right now that's our main facility. We have Vietnam coming around the corner, but right now it's mainly China. Then it's okay, you manufacture in China. What is the average weight and size of your product? Because this model works really well with lighter and lower volumetric weight products. Clothing, accessories, electronics, jewelry, cosmetics. But once you start selling, let's say pillows. Pillows have high volumetric, but they weigh very little. That's really bad for this market, right? And we actually work with some people not in the pillow game, but in the sheet game, which is still pretty high volumetric from a density perspective.
Right.
High dim. But sometimes they want to use us anyways for cash flow or entering new markets.
Right.
But if something is very off, we're like, listen, here's another great example. If you have a product that is there's a lot of chemicals in it. We asked for MSDS, which breaks down all the chemicals. We made a mistake once and we brought in a customer because we recognized the product. We had a similar customer and a very similar product. And we missed the fact there's a certain chemical that we actually couldn't service. So, and it was brutal. We actually did service them under only one carrier was able to service them, and they were a terrible carrier. It was just a really bad experience. So now we know, like, okay, we talked to customer. We need to know your MSDS. We'll look at it and we'll be very upfront with you. Like, hey, this is not a good fit for your model. Because you can only use one carrier and that has bad delivery times and there's bad experiences. So as we go, we get to learn like, oh, your chemicals in your product. We need to know what those are. Oh, there's alcohol in your product. Okay, there's a special line for that. So really understanding the product allows us to let you know if this makes sense for your business.
Right. So you mentioned obviously one criteria is manufacturing in China. Now you're looking at Vietnam, but are you looking at like other countries too in the future, like Bangladesh, Pakistan, or some other ones? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, the next country around the corner is Thailand. So it's Vietnam, Thailand. Those are the three markets that work very well in this model. That being said, we have customers that say manufacture 65% China and then 30% Vietnam and 10%, you know, wherever. So what we do in those cases is we say, okay, China will be your hub. We will help you import into China from India, from Bangladesh, from Thailand, into a bonded facility. So you're not paying any income tax. You have one facility, and moving containers from those countries to China, because you're already in Asia, is like 7 days. So you still get a lot more advantages than bringing it to the States. You get the tax advantage. For the products you manufacture in China, you have added advantage of really quick agility. Your factory's done production, 2 days later, could be on a facility, you're selling it to your customer.
Right.
So yeah, so right now, those are the three major hubs. China's the biggest hub right now, or the active hub, and we will help you inbound from other countries into your main hub.
So even through Vietnam, they would still be going into China as a main hub, correct?
For now. So for now, if you are mainly in China and you have some in Vietnam, will come in through China. Now, we have other customers, which we haven't onboarded yet, that is like 70% Vietnam and like 10% China and 10%. In that case, their hub will be Vietnam, which we're in the middle of opening up. Again, we're doing it internally. We don't want to bring on any customer until we like have it solid, that supply chain. Our plan is in Q1 to onboard our first Vietnam customer. And then we help them bring from China into Vietnam, from India into Vietnam. So really is, where is the major hub? And then that's where we do it.
So is there a use case for somebody, for example, who has like 95% of their manufacturing in China and then is doing some small stuff here in the States? Like, would that be beneficial for them? Or like everything from end to end, packaging, everything needs to be finished in China?
Great question. So definitely could be split. Our software allows for split orders, et cetera. If you manufacture in the States, this model obviously doesn't make sense for you.
Right. Yeah.
If it's truly 5%, one of the things we could do is we could bring that back to China. We could either put on a pallet boat or on a day shop. If it just, because ideally you don't want split orders. But if that 5%, I'll give you another example. Our model doesn't work great for wholesale. So if you have a wholesale side of your business, what we tell our customers to do is, well, bring in some of your inventory. Bring in some of that inventory, manage your wholesale. You'll always save way less inventory needs. And we could drip it to you. We could put it on a boat for you. You can send it to us. We can figure out, do you need DHL? Do you need fast boat, Madison? Do you need slow boat? But for those customers, you're always going to want some locally for wholesale. So that would be a scenario where you're like, have some local, manage your wholesale, or if you want express options, next day delivery, you could use that from your smaller inventory bucket if they want.
But I'm saying, if somebody, for example, like, you know how it's like when you bring in most of like the, I guess you could say, raw material from China, right? And maybe in the States, they have some like, you know, finished packaging where it's like assembled in the States. Like, would that be beneficial for those types of companies?
Yeah, no. If you're assembling in the States means it needs to make a stop, doesn't work. Our model works from us to your customer. If you have certain packaging, what we recommend is like, we could help you with packaging too. You need eco-friendly, you need honeycomb, you need design. You're not going to get a better price than we could get from factories, because most likely it came from the China, went on a boat. So that, like, basically let us help you do it, or we can help you send it back to us if it's something super unique. Let's just say you need to sign something, send it back. We'll help you send it back. And obviously, if it's too complex, then it's obviously just models not for you.
Right. So how have you built these kinds of relationships with people in China? Obviously, like you mentioned, that you have the CFO, former CFO from Alibaba, but do you go over there constantly? How do you maintain these kinds of, because I know it's like many people do struggle with that.
100%. And honestly, it's a hard market, to be frank, right? When we built our fulfillment center, it took us 2 years. Most of that was legals. Around China, Hong Kong Corp, Wufi, Director, KYCs, local Chinese bank accounts, and all the laws around that, it is difficult. So like I said, like I mentioned to your point, we just got lucky. So I happened to be doing this for 10 years. So I was going into China a lot, and we built cross-border. Like, we're doing cross-border for majority of that. But fundamentally, it was the relationships I had with key players, like the former CFO, like the former operator of Tmall and Taobao. And they kind of took my hand and helped us build the right structures, the right legal entities to make this work.
For sure. Yeah. Like, as you mentioned, I mean, that legal component is so challenging, and so many people do struggle with it. So what would you say is like your top business priority now as we're wrapping up this year and going into 2024?
Yeah, we're looking to add more on the tech side. Like, right now we have a tech integration to Shopify. I would say it's mostly automated. We see opportunities to improve the service through additional automation and additional tech So we're going to use Q1 to, keep building out our tech there, as well as expanding our bonded facility in China, which is right now on a smaller scale. We want to go larger there, and getting Vietnam live. So those are like three things that working, different people running those projects. But that's our plan for Q1 to have those projects up and going.
But do you integrate with like customized solutions or mostly just Shopify?
So Shopify happens to be majority of customers. So like Shopify apps allow that to be pretty simple, but we do integrate customized solutions, especially when you talk an enterprise, like they're not on Shopify, they're
Correct,
like
yeah.
or whatever. So we have open APIs. It ends up being an integration like probably about 7 to 10 days. Because once you have the APIs, it's just a matter of like testing it and creating a sandbox. So we have those. The nice thing with a Shopify customer, you could be live honestly within 7 days. It takes literally an hour, half hour to set up the Shopify app. And then it's about inbounding to us, inbound it, and then ship it. So Shopify has that agility of going so quick versus a tech integration, a custom one, you're looking at 7 to 10 days of tech integration and then sending us inventory. So you're looking, depending on how fast you move, 2 to 3 weeks.
Makes sense. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
You know what? It's funny. I've heard this on other podcasts. Someone else say this, and it clicks so much. I think one of the major superpowers of an entrepreneur is that you're actually stupid, right? Because if you come into a business and you know how complex it is, there's no way in the world you're going to do it. I actually remember who was. I think it was NVIDIA. CEO of NVIDIA said this on a podcast. I'm like, that's so brilliant. I'm like, if he would have, someone asked him, would you do this all over again? He's like, no way. He's like, if I knew how hard this was going to be, I would never do it. So I actually think, execution is everything. You could plan, try to plan as much as possible. You're going to learn all the pain points during execution. Nobody knows everything. Actually, your strength is not knowing. Of course, speak to people, get advice. But very often the people that are have been in your industry forever, they don't know another way. And coming with a blank canvas, I think, is actually the superpower of the entrepreneur.
100%. You have to be, have like guts to go and do some of these things. And it's like people, it's like, think it's so easy, just to your point, but there's so much risk taking involved and there's so many challenges, ups and downs. You really have to be very resilient to be successful. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited. We're on a very fast growing trajectory. I think right now we're in a place where most brands just don't know this is possible. And my hope is by, this time next year, we've made enough of a splash in the right places to be like, at least you should know it exists. Is it right for your business? Up to you. Talk to us. We'll walk you through it. And we always tell customers, crawl, walk, run. This is your supply chain. This is your business. We want you to experience it and then see how crazy it is. I'm going to grow with you. And that's what every customer does with us. Well, most customers, as long as they're ICP. So for this time next year, my hope is by then you'll have heard of us outside of podcasts. And the word has spread that, going portless could change, really the unit economics and, cash flow and margins of your business.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media, just best way to get in contact with you?
Absolutely. So portless.com, we got a bunch of case studies. You can read about what we do and get an understanding of all the potential savings. In there, you could book a time with our team. Within the app, within the website, you can book within Calendly, basically. Talk to us. It's a 30-minute call. Get to hear about if this is a right fit for you. Me personally, you could DM me on Twitter or LinkedIn. I'm very active in those communities. I love those communities. Great. There's great communities around e-commerce and DTC. Again, I happen to post there, but there is a wealth of information from all the different founders and service providers on those communities. But I'm very active there. Feel free to follow me and or DM me if you want to learn more.
Awesome. Well, Izzy, we're rooting for you and thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here. I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right. Bye.